Want to be in Matthew chapter 7, and if you have a church Bible, that's page 552, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. And we're finishing up our series today, Grace. Grace. Christmas is where grace was birthed. Grace came to earth. Do you know what you call a group of lying, cheating, greedy, covetous, lustful, porn-watching, tax-dodging, racist, jealous, judgmental, lonely, angry people who eat too much, spend too much, drink too much, medicate too much, worry too much, smoke too much, who gather together because they believe Jesus is the light of the world and they desperately need more light in their life? Do you know what you call those people? The church. Merry Christmas! Did I miss anybody? Thank God that's what Paul said. That's what some of you were, right? But that is who we were. It's odd to hear people talk about the church as an institution. It's odd to me to hear that. It's if it's an institution rather than a group of people. And we lose sight of that in our culture. We lose sight of that in our society. They say the church should do this or the church should do that as if it's an institution making a decision and being like that. The church should take a stand. I don't know how many times I've heard that in 25 years of ministry. Really? They should take a stand, any stand, or your stand? What you think we should stand on. That they want me to take their stand, but I'm not the church. We are the church. The church isn't a place where we all agree on everything. In fact, as you get to know the church, we agree on very little. The church is a gathering of imperfect people with very diverse views and experiences who agree on just two things. That's what we agree on. One, that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us from our sins and to save us from ourselves. Without Him, myself would be a whole lot different. We agree on that. God sent Jesus. We also agree that we are now responsible because of that gift that was given to us to extend to each other and to others what God has freely extended to us. And this closes out our service, our sermon series, because it's grace that God gave us. Grace. Grace is the oil in the machine that makes the church function and work. Without it, it doesn't work. Grace enables folks who are different from each other to work with one another without destroying each other. Grace allows people who aren't alike at all to like one another. God modeled it. God initiated grace. We would not have ever known what grace was except that our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world to rescue us through grace, through the gift of delivering the deliverer to us to redeem us from everything we've ever done wrong. Grace, God and sinner reconciled. We sing about it every Christmas. You can be right without grace, but listen carefully, you can never be reconciled without grace. It's impossible. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come to be right? He could have, but He came instead to make things right. And that took an extraordinary sacrifice on His part to a bunch of people who really didn't deserve that gift. Grace. Grace becomes amazing when it's extended to others. But when you keep it to yourself, it's never, ever, ever amazing. Grace has to be given away in order to become amazing. And you are most amazing when you extend grace to others. You are most like your Father in heaven when you give grace to other people. In this way, grace, God's amazing grace to you, is an invitation for you to become amazing. And that's what today's message is about. We've told you what grace was in a previous message. Matt covered a different aspect of grace in last week's message. And today we want to talk about the importance of taking all of that and then giving it away. Freely we've received, freely we give. And grace is what was being spoken of in that passage of Scripture. You are most amazing when you do it. Grace is our greatest opportunity. Our greatest opportunity, yet giving grace is so incredibly difficult for every single one of us at different times of our life. It's difficult. And Jesus tells us why by asking us what may be the most challenging question he ever asked in Scripture. And you wouldn't expect this particular question to be brought up in a Christmas message. But this question that he asked us, it cuts us to the heart. It makes us maybe a little defensive, so you have to resist that this morning. It's one of the most challenging questions asked by anyone, anytime, anywhere. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" When he talks about speck, he's talking about something so small it can barely be seen. And when he talks about a plank, he's talking literally about a 2x4 crammed in my eye, and I'm trying to get a piece of something that hardly can be seen out of your eye. It's such a penetrating question. But you can answer this. You might be answering it now in your mind, in your heart. You say, "Preacher, I'll tell you why this is a problem. I'll tell you why I can look at the speck in someone else's eye and deal with that. Because it's not a speck of sawdust." Are you kidding me? Do you know what that person is like? Do you have any idea what they've done? He's a Republican. She's a Democrat. It's what we live in today, isn't it? That's no speck. That's a forest, for crying out loud. He's a white politician. They watch CNN, and that's an issue for me. Right? Yeah. That's not a speck. But for some of you, it's way more personal than that, isn't it? Your response may be, "My father abandoned us. He abandoned my mom and he abandoned my brothers and sisters. He left a family of 4 or 5, how many's ever in your family, and he just left, and my mom was stuck raising those kids by herself. We struggled every year. We never had any Christmas presents. He was never around, never called, never. He went and had another life with somebody else. And then when he's old, when he's sick, he shows up on our doorstep and he just wants us to help him. What's up with that? That's not a speck, Pastor. That's a jerk." It may be way more personal like that. The second answer you might have today is, I don't have a plank in my eye. I see the world as it actually is, preacher. What are you talking about, a plank in my eye? You might be watching online and like, I don't have a thing in my eye. Don't you see things as they actually are, preacher? You don't have a plank in your eye, do you? You're not influenced by your upbringing. You're not influenced by your environment, your experience, your education, your health. You can handle those things, your successes, your failures, your opportunities, your IQ, your EQ, in case you don't know what that is, emotional intelligence. How about your insecurities? How much you rose above that, preacher man? Perhaps Jesus is not talking about me or you. But you know by now that's not true, don't you? See, Jesus is going to keep going. He's going to keep going. He's going to say this. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? Another way this could be interpreted is, how can you, just to make it in today's language, how can you say to your brother, let me help you see clearly? What are you looking at? How can you say to your brother, let me tell you what you should have done? Come on, dude, what's wrong with you? How can you say to your brother, let me tell you what you ought to do? When all the time there is a plank in your own eye. And then Jesus says, the next two is ridiculous. That I would even have these anywhere near Christmas Sunday is offensive, but the fact that Jesus said these two words are probably the most offensive thing he could say to us. And we like to go, well, that's the other person. But Jesus, listen, there's no elbow poking today. I know you like to do that. I watch you. There's no glancing over at the person next to you. He's talking to you today. Okay? Not your wife or that person at work or the guy in the cubicle or your boss. Well, he might be talking to your boss, but that's a whole nother message. Jesus says something so offensive that if you didn't know his love for you, you would doubt his love for you. You hypocrite. You sinner is kind of what he's saying here. You fall shorter. I mean, however you want to say it. You did it on purposer. Because that's what a sin is, right? Not a mistake. Get some mistake out of your heart and mind. It's we did it on purpose. Here's one worse. We did it on purpose over and over and over and over again. That's the person he's talking to. And don't put your hands up, but that's every one of us, isn't it? Do you know why God was able to extend grace to you to begin with? He could see you for exactly who you are. He saw your upbringing. He saw your environment. He saw your experience and your education, and he saw your health, and he saw your successes, and he saw your failures, your monumental failures. He saw your opportunities and the opportunities you squandered. He saw and knows your IQ, and he knows your EQ, and all your emotional baggage that you carry around with you, and all those accusations that you think up in your mind that aren't true. He knows all of that. He knows all about every single one of your insecurities and the ones that you just completely imagine beyond that. He took all of that into consideration, and then he decided to extend grace to you anyways. He did that for you. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Look at this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was a literal statement for Paul. When the Apostle Paul wrote Romans 5, verse 8, that literally took place. While Jesus was still hanging on the cross, Paul was still sinning. Literally, he lived in that exact moment. If he had lived later, like us today, maybe he would have wrote it a little different. Let's explore that. Let's try this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Knowing ahead of time the sins we would commit. Knowing ahead of time the sins we would commit and confess. You ever done that? Committed a sin and then confessed it and then repeated and committed it again. Knowing the sin, knowing ahead of time the sins we would commit and confess and repeat again, over and confess again, over and over and over again. Sometimes it's kind of sick, right? Christ died for us anyway. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Here's the big problem. Here's the giant problem that we have to think about this morning. Planks get in the way of grace. The planks in my eye get in the way of the grace that I need to extend to other people because I can't see. On Christmas, we need to know that the more aware I am of what God has yet to do in me. Does that make sense? Think about that carefully. I want this is really important. So I know you got holiday shopping to do and you got yams to buy. Do you buy yams in New York? I don't know, but whatever you're making, turkey, ham, I know all of that's important, but this is really important right now. The more aware I am of what God has yet to do in me, the more I focus on that. This is really hard because being self-aware is so incredibly difficult. The more aware I am of what God has yet to do in me, the less aware I am of what He has yet to do in you. But the world we live in flip-flops that, and my eyes are on you, and I can't see me. But the more aware of what God has yet to do in me, the less aware I am of what He has yet to do in you. We need to get the log out of our own eye, don't we? On Christmas, grace literally came to earth and dwelt among us. We covered that verse 2 weeks ago. On Christmas, grace came to earth and dwelt among us in spite of us. God was more brokenhearted over our sin than He was put off by it. Isn't that amazing? He was more brokenhearted over our sin than He was put off by it. And that's our problem a lot of the time. You and I are most often put off by sin, find that particular sin, whatever that is, repulsive, and we would never be that. And we're more put off by someone's sin than we are brokenhearted over it. And that's the flip that we need to make in our life. I taught my children an important saying, and I've repeated it a million times, and there but by the grace of God go I. When they got that attitude, sometimes they had to say it to me because I wasn't perfect at that. God was more brokenhearted over your sin than He was put off by it. But Jesus drew near to those who were far away from Him. Jesus didn't take sides. Instead, Jesus came to earth to come alongside of you and me. The expectation was people who, the exception was people who represented graceless religion. That was the exception. Religious people whose planks made it impossible for them to see others the way that Jesus saw them. Thing in full of truth. And Jesus was full to the brim and couldn't put another thing in of grace. He wasn't 50-50. That's where we go wrong. He was full of both. He never dumbed sin down. He never excused sin. But He was all full of grace as well. I'm hesitant to ask, but I'll ask anyway. What are you full of? What comes out of you when you get shaken up? What comes out of you when you bump into sinners who are just like you? I imagine you've gotten your house ready for Christmas. Look around. Isn't the sanctuary beautiful? I think they did a great job decorating it. We got a little Christmas tree out in the foyer. It's just gorgeous. All this cool garland. Fire trucks. They have Santa on the back of the fire truck. It happens in the 9 o'clock service every year. So, but is your heart ready for Christmas? This is the lesson we have to bring into our heart to get us ready for Christmas every day of the year. Are you ready to celebrate grace come down? Santa has come to town, apparently, on the fire truck. Has grace come down to your heart? The truth part is fairly simple. The grace part is where it really gets messy. Taking the plank out of your own eye is really good preparation for all of this. If you feel superior to sinners just like you, then you may have some work to do in your life. Grace is the unsettling solution for just about every conflict, every family issue, every challenge at work. Grace is the unsettling solution for just about every problem. Jesus was full of grace. Jesus extended grace to people who were absolutely nothing like him. What did he really have in common with a fisherman? What did he have in common with a tax collector? Jesus was perfectly holy, perfect in absolutely every way, and he chose the most unlikely bunch on the planet to be his disciples. It's worse than that. He chose me, and he chose you. Jesus invited those same people to do something ridiculous, something absolutely amazing. Jesus invited them, Matthew, Luke, John, James. Jesus invited them to extend grace to people who were nothing like them either. And Jesus invites you to do the same, to give it away. This Christmas season, let's do that. Let's do something absolutely ridiculous. As relatives gather together this Christmas, look for God to allow you many opportunities to extend amazing grace to people. Not just say grace. We're good at that at Christmas, right? We gather around the meal. We always say grace. Who doesn't say grace? Let's not just give grace a present. You may know a grace. That's another issue. But instead, let's live grace. Let's live it out. Let's give someone what they don't expect, because we never expected Jesus, not to that extent. And let's give someone what they don't necessarily deserve. Let's give them a break. When you do, that's when you're most like your Heavenly Father. That's when grace shines. You'll be part of the solution. You'll be amazing, just like grace, because that's what Jesus did for us. We broke all of his laws, every one of them. We sinned, and we did it on purpose. We didn't just make a mistake that we could erase and fix. We broke his law. Sometimes we premeditated our sin. Most of the time, we thought about how we could stretch that truth and get away with something, and we told the lie, or we went on a date and we had it all planned out how we wanted that night to end, and it was like a rehearsal, and then we executed it. We sin on purpose, and Jesus knew all of that. And while we were yet sinners and confessors and re-sinners over and over and over again, he loved you anyway. And if you don't know that Savior yet, who's full of truth, he's not going to excuse any of your sin. If you die in your sin, he will give you justice. He will give you justice, and you will spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. There's no escape. If you're watching online, I can't sell you anything else, because that's the truth of it. But he gave you a way out called grace. His name is Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to earth, fully God, fully man, and he died on the cross. The penalty for sin is death, and Jesus died. He never sinned himself, but he paid for my sin and your sin. He gave us the gift of eternal life, which is what grace is, a gift that we don't earn, we don't deserve, but we get it anyway because we believe. We believe in the Savior that was promised, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And if you will put your faith and trust in Him, if you will confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe it in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. Does that mean you have to be perfect? Well, we shouldn't have no license to sin, that's for sure. When you mess up, you have an advocate that's with the Father. And He'll forgive you when you confess. Lean into Christ. And that same grace that you receive, be ready to give it lavishly. Lavishly. Let's pray. God, we just love You today and praise You. You are our Lord, our God, and our King. And we're so grateful for the gift of Jesus that You gave us on Christmas. And Lord, this grace that You have freely gave us, Lord, help us freely give it away. What we've freely received, help us freely give. And Lord, let us live in grace every single day, Lord. People do dumb stuff to us all the time, but God, we have done so much more. God, I pray in Jesus' name as we walk through this that, Lord, You would speak to us. Holy Spirit, we invite You into our heart to check us and help us process this word because, Lord, it's difficult. It's challenging. It's offensive. It isn't the way we have been brought up. It isn't the way, Lord, that the country runs. It's not the way, Lord, our political system works. It's not, Lord, there's been no grace given just about any. I don't even know another piece of grace that's been given in our country lately. Well, we riot well, that's true, but Lord, and maybe there's some truth to some of those things, but Lord, we need to be full of truth and full of grace, and that's where it gets really hard, Lord. So God, as we celebrate Christmas this year, I pray that we would check ourselves. And Lord, You would speak to us. Lord, I can't fix everybody else, but I can sure work on Martin. By Your help, by Your Spirit, by Your sovereign grace, Lord, I can work on Martin. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us, every single one of us, those watching online, those sitting in this sanctuary, Lord, by Your sovereign grace, by Your will, Lord, breathe Holy Spirit into each one of us. What, Lord, You have commanded us, You have also enabled us to walk this out. Not just say that was a nice sermon, not have in our mind someone else this applies to, not think about, Lord, all the wrong that's been done to us. Lord, instead, think of our response to others. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name.